At any rate, open up your Bibles this morning, once again to Mark chapter 11. We've been talking for several months now on the subject of faith. How many have learned a few things about faith? How many, like me, are still some areas that we're struggling? It is truly a fight of faith. What about the rest of you? Are you already got it? All that in a bag of chips? Come on. How many of you are still got some areas that you're struggling? You're struggling in faith. But you're finding out that this fight is a good fight. Come on. It's a good fight. And the more we learn about His goodness, the more we learn about His love for us, the more we learn about His promises, the more we trust Him, faith increases. And we stand and don't just say things that we only partially understand, but it becomes a knowledge settled in our heart. How many know when there is a knowledge of God that comes by revelation, and out of that revelation we speak some things, how many know some things begin to take place? Jesus spoke to a fig tree. It didn't look like anything had happened. But returning the next day on the return trip, the disciples, Peter spoke up. They noticed that although nothing seemed to happen the day before, in the unseen realm, words that were spoken in faith. You say, how do I know that? Well, because he takes that very opportunity to teach his disciples how to deal with the impossible in their lives. How many know Jesus said, nothing is impossible? Come on, are you here today? To him that believes. Aren't you glad for that? That's not just good preaching. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. And like I've said before, I'd say he's probably an expert on faith, more than likely. And so he says this is how it works. Now, he said that there's a way to deal with the impossible. How many got some things that are looming heavy in your life, casting shadows where there should be sunshine? Jesus called it a mountain. He referred to it as a mountain because it's that which is seems impossible. And he told us that we could speak to that mountain. And if we believed what we said and didn't doubt in our hearts, that we would have, this is Mark chapter 11, 23, that we would have whatever we say. So let's go ahead and turn there. And now listen, I'm not going to pound this again. This is just an introduction because we made a turn last week and that's exactly where we're going. How many know Galatians 5, 6 tells us that faith works by love? And now that y'all know, now I'll repeat it again. You can all say amen. How many of you know that Galatians 5, 6 says faith works by love? How many of you know that? Now you know that. Huge. Mark chapter 11. Jesus teaching his disciples how faith works. What the God kind of faith that he's telling them, he's challenging them, you have this. Take hold of this. He says, have the God kind of faith is what one translation says. He said, this is how it works. Have faith in God or have the God kind of faith. Another one, as we taught several weeks ago, another translation says, very beautiful, lay hold on the faithfulness of God. Boy, isn't that beautiful. How many know he is faithful? Three of you. How many know he is faithful? All right, so here we go. For verily, he says, I say unto you, okay, this is one we just quoted, paraphrased. Verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you that whatsoever things you desire, we covered this, I think, amply. Whatsoever things you desire, how many have some things you desire? How many have some mountains you desire to go? Okay, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. He called this shoulders back, eyes wide open, head up, talking to a mountain like a crazy man. He called that a form of prayer that moves mountains when we believe. Don't look at me like that. You look at your Bible and look at, notice who's talking. So either we're utterly crazy or this is truth. There's not much middle ground. Okay? When you pray, believe. So he's saying at the time that you pray like this, believe that you receive. When a farmer plants seed, I think it's something that, and many people grow up in the farming community, in the ranching community, whatever it is. They grow up with a whole tradition and mindset. I don't think any of them plant seed wondering and worrying and fretting every day and every night whether or not that seed is going to come up. Now, they may be concerned about markets. They may be concerned about storms. I get all that. The analogy is not perfect. But very few of them are worried about whether that seed's going to work because it's been built into them. They plant seed already having a vision of a harvest. And everything they're doing, their whole life, everything, their equipment, everything is planned around a vision that they already see a harvest coming. Well, if it's that true in the natural realm, how many know the Word of God is sure and true? Yes. Come on, it's Labor Day weekend, but that doesn't mean you can't. You need to work a little bit with me in here. Okay. How many know that is true? Yes. But that we can trust that when we sow seed into the kingdom, when we speak words which are seeds into our lives and the kingdom of God, we can expect not just a little return, but a great harvest. How many believe in God for a great harvest? Amen. What about the rest of you? How many believe in God for a great harvest? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So here's what he says. When you stand, he says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and listen to what Jesus told you. Ye shall have them. Wow. Radical. Now, he makes a sudden turn. Not really, because it's right in the flow of everything. But to the person who doesn't really understand how all this works, they might see what they consider like, wow, where'd this come from? Boom. In the next verse, he says, and when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Forgive, so that you'll be forgiven. This is what he says. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, I said this last week, and I'm going to repeat it again. I'd be glad to discuss it with you. As time provides, you can set up meetings. I know I always see faces kind of scrunch up, but you need to understand context. Jesus is a Jewish rabbi. Come first to the house of Israel. He is challenging them on the basis continually challenging them to the point of utter frustration and anger to the screaming degree that they kill him for it. You understand, this is not little. He is constantly after the religious, the lawyers, those who pursue the law. He's always, I mean, you look throughout Scripture. He says, you think you know the law. You think it says this. But let me tell you what it really means. Then he ends up in Matthew telling them the last verse of, what is it, 5 or 6? Doesn't matter. Where he says, be perfect as God is perfect. Well, there's an impossible goal. Unless you know the end of the story, that through his death, men who believed in his death, burial, and resurrection would be made perfect, according to Hebrews, perfected forever by his precious blood, the blood of the Lamb. So he was bringing a close to a lot of things, and he was challenging many on the basis, you think you know the law. And there were those who managed the law. Even Paul said, I obeyed the law in its skeletal format, if you could put it that way. I obeyed the letter of the law perfectly. I was a Jew of the first order. If you want to brag about perfection, I walked it. I lived it. And yet I was a mess. He said, all this, Philippians 3, I count as dung. You can interpret that for yourself. It's Sunday morning and we're in a mixed crowd. I count all this as dung. He said, but faith caused me to believe in a righteousness that is a gift, and it set me free. His heart cries, found in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The whole theme right there. Isn't that beautiful? Now, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking within the auspices of the law. If you don't forgive your brother, God will not forgive you. He's exactly right. He's right in line. Contextually, everything is there. But something is going to change, and we covered this last week. When Jesus ratifies the new covenant, can everybody agree with me that everything changed? That was the point of the law. To show us, in short, we needed a Savior. Aren't you glad for Jesus, who fulfilled the law, was obedient in all points. Tempted in all points, yet without sin. Obedient. Okay. Now, when he died, was buried, and resurrected, it was no longer what we do, but what we believe. Come on, are you here this morning? It was no longer what we do, but what we believe that made us righteous. Ephesians, we read it last week. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that we should now, as believers, forgiven, made righteous by a confession of faith from heart belief in that what he did was enough. How many believe this morning that what he did was enough? Three of you. How many believe this morning that what he did was enough? Okay. Our faith in him and what he did made us righteous. And Paul, writing to the Ephesians, the Spirit of God speaking through Paul says, here's what this looks like now under the new covenant, that you should forgive as believers who are in Christ. You should forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. How many are glad that he has forgiven us? That his work did a complete work for all sin, for all time. All we've got to do is trust him and take that by faith. Can you say amen? So God, for Christ's sake, has. Aren't you glad that he has forgiven us according to Hebrews, according to Ephesians, according to Colossians, right on down the line. He has forgiven us of all sin. Aren't you glad for that? It's a done deal. So now, because of that great truth ratified now in the new covenant, we should therefore love one another and forgive just like we were forgiven. This is the new message. But the theme from the old, even though it's Jesus as a Jewish rabbi speaking to the nation of Israel, his message is still the same. How many know that unforgiveness, no longer under the new covenant, causes God not to forgive you your trespasses? How many in here got somebody you're struggling with? They have hurt you and hurt you bad. Don't raise your hand. I don't expect you to. I wouldn't either. They've hurt you and they've hurt you bad. And it is a faith walk for you. Maybe you're not even at the faith walk. Maybe you're just so floundering in how badly you've been hurt, that every time you think about them, you know what's wrong. Your heart doesn't want to go there, but your head and your emotions can quickly go to, I'd just soon they were dead. The Bible calls that murder. The intent of the law calls that murder. Aren't you glad, though, that he who is born of God is incapable of murder, according to John? You may have emotions like that. You may be angry and hurt and unrenewed and been a true victim. But let me tell you something. When it gets right down to it, if you've been born again, Romans 5:5 declares that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And you might surprise yourself if you had the opportunity to do something. Boy, it got quiet in here really quick, didn't it? So here's the deal. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by faith in the Son. So it no longer is it God's gonna forgive you if you forgive others. God forgave you because you put faith in Jesus, who was able to do that. Father, forgive them. I mean, you think of all the things that happened up and to and after the, I mean, up and to Jesus' death on the cross. The many things. Aren't you glad that he bore our sorrow? He bore our griefs. By his stripes. Come on, are you here this morning? By his stripes. Physically, there is healing for those who believe. Everything he did. Isaiah 54 says that God did all that he did, he would establish a covenant of kindness that would be forever, that he would never again turn his back on us. Because we're in the Son and the Son is in us. Are you here today? A covenant of kindness that would never change. He said there would be a day coming when the children of God would be instructed in righteousness and oppression would be far from them. He ends that whole thing up saying, and every weapon that is formed against you will fail in its purpose and endeavor. Now, if that's not happening, that's not God not keeping up to his word. It could be that the enemy has come in and deceived you on certain levels and caused you to believe a lie. That's why we teach the word of God. That's why we worship. That's why we open up. Listen, if he can come in and make you believe something that sounds really religious, that casts a shadow on who God is and on his character, especially now in the new covenant through the work of his son Jesus. How many know that God so loved the world? It wasn't God who was angry and mad and distant. And then Jesus interrupted and said, hey, chill out, Dad. You're going a little too far. I'm going to go in here. We're going to build a bridge. You guys need to get together. That's where a lot of religion goes. No. For God, our Father. Woo! Where am I? Now the spirit of adoption, my spirit jumps right now in me and cries, Abba, Father. The Father, God so loved the world. That he gave. Aren't you glad today that he gave his only begotten son? That whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that great? But here's the truth though. You still hear the theme of forgiveness or turn it a little bit, the theme of the love of God in connection with this walk called faith. How many are glad God demonstrated his love through Jesus, showed his power to forgive, to cleanse, to heal? 3.5 years Jesus walked in this ministry. Okay, tremendous as far as we know. This tremendous ministry. Acts 10:38 describes it, how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good. Now he said, if you want to know what the Father really looks like, examine me, examine who I am, examine what I do, and you will see the Father. Hebrews chapter 1 says that Jesus was a perfect image, expression of the Father. All right? How Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing. I'm very glad for healing today. How many in the process of being healed? Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Say, that's good news. And how many know he is still in the healing business today? Hebrews 13:8 declares he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He heals the broken heart. He heals the broken body. He is a healer. Say with me today, make a confession. When we learned about confession, would you say with me today out loud, boldly, I thank you, Jesus, that you are my healing today. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, your healing power surges and flows. Royal blood flows through my vein. As a king's kid, I reign in life because I, by faith, have received the abundance, come on, shout it out, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Isn't that great? But in this theme of faith, you see that although the law was very black and white, do good, get good, do bad, get bad, the intent of it went much deeper. And how many know that unforgiveness no longer, it doesn't stop. He already did that through Jesus. His forgiveness is rolling over you like a tidal wave. But you know, we can reach up, like I said last week and the week before, and I'm going to repeat it again today. We can reach up and turn the faucet off. Ourselves, not God, ourselves. How many know that unforgiveness, we're told under the new covenant to be careful lest a root of bitterness take hold. Isn't that something? I mean, no, there is the potential for a Spirit-filled, New Covenant believer to be sidetracked through hurt or some event or circumstance in life. Everything the devil does is designed to deceive. He cannot. 1 Peter 5:8 speaks of the devil walking as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. Everybody say with me, may. Seeking whom he may. He cannot at will just run right over top of you. If the Bible says he was defeated, then he was defeated. How he works is through cunning and deception. He started with Eve, using the most subtle beast of the earth, the snake. He speaks through deception. He tries to sound like God, or he will question God and sound very religious in his questioning. Look at, I don't know if we'll have time to get there today, but look at Jesus himself when he was tempted. Right? Look what happens in Luke chapter 4. The enemy doesn't come once, but he comes back three times. You say, I mean, think of that. We get upset when we pray and we believe God and we stand in faith and then it seems like nothing happened. He's just right back again. Well, hey, the Son of God himself. Are you here? Three times. Huge blast from the enemy. He continued to stand and say, it is written. It is written. Do you know what's written today? Do you know what is written in this book about your health? Do you know what's written in this book about your provision? Do you know what's written in this book about your peace? Do you know what's written in this book about your sanity? Do you know what's written in this book? If you know what's written, you can stand and talk to your mountain about what is written. Are you here today? And stand. Now, here's the thing. Why are there some people that seem to, in the face of adversity, they just stand there and keep plowing away? And one day they walk up to you and they say, brother, I got it. I got it. It's been 3 years. I saw it. I already knew I had it, but I got it. I've been trusting. I've been believing. I knew I had a vision, and it's happening right now as I stand. It seemed like it was never going to happen. I've been there myself, and I know many people that have been there as they stuck it out. The other day, I was working on my little RV trailer, and there were some, my little blinds had little hooks, and I didn't like the way they were set up, so I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go get me some Velcro with sticky back Velcro. And I'm going to set up a little system where it just shoves up there and sticks right into place, and we're good, all right? So, a little bit of that cheap boy, poor boy mentality still wants to crop up in me every once in a while. So, I happen to be in the, no slight against the Dollar Tree. They got a lot of relatively good stuff in there. Okay? And that's the nature of this story. It was relatively good. What's relative? So I'm going through, and what would cost me $6 for a 3M product, man, it looks the same. It looks exactly the same. It's a buck. Woo! Boy, we can be cheap sometimes. So I just bet it's a buck. Let's get her. So get the stuff home, and I start opening it up, and you can tell right off the back that there's a big difference between a buck and $6. Huge. There's like a $20 difference between a buck and $6. I mean, you put it, stuck it on, it won't hardly stick. You have to keep pushing the corners down on the sticky back. And then once it's there, you take the other side, stick it to that. It won't hardly stick to that. And forget the Velcro. It's like it wanted to stick really bad, but when you put a little pressure, it just kind of fell away. It's buck sticky back Velcro. Would you go with me this morning in a confession? I'm not any Dollar Tree. Come on. Dollar Tree Velcro. I have some stick-to-itiveness in me. Hebrews 10 says, for us to not give up, but hang in there. Hold on. There's a great reward for those who will stick to it and not be cheap Velcro. Say with me, I'm not cheap Velcro. Come on, one more time. I'm not cheap Velcro. I got some stick to it in me. You have young couples. They've embraced the world's ideals. You know, I'll do anything for that guy. And you're looking, you're going, love is truly blind, sweetheart, because you don't see what you're looking at. That guy's a jerk. A lot of people get married for the wrong reasons. Because they're incomplete. They're looking for somebody to complete them. Old country song, years ago, forgive me, indulge me one more time. If I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me for to ease my pain? One little phrase that describes human earthly love. I love you because of what you do for me. Now, we don't consciously think that. But this is what's going on. I mean, that kind of love fails. But the love of God, are you here today? Never fails. And there are a lot of people that talk about love. Now, I'm not going to get into it this week. I don't want to take the time. We'll do that at another time. But there are a number of different types of love, words for love and meanings in the Hebrew. Hey, everybody's heard about. Well, I'm not going to do that because I won't take the time. I've got other stuff I need to get to. Different kinds of love. In English, you know, I love my dog. I love my cat. I love ice cream. I love pizza. And I love my wife. Hopefully there's a difference in there. But the world has gone crazy. Love is all about. Listen, love. Think of this. We've hit this over and over again. We are saved. How are we saved? Ephesians 2:18, by grace. Somebody want to define grace for me real quick? Come on, it's Sunday morning. Somebody want to define, just simple, just a simple definition of grace. What is grace? I hear undeserved, undeserved favor, undeserved love. All these are right and good. Grace, so undeserved love. I love that because that's exactly what we're talking about. So undeserved love, by grace, by undeserved love, through faith in that love. This is the love of God, right? We got to keep in context. His love for us. Caused me to pass. This wasn't no turning over a leaf. This was from death to life. This is translated from darkness. The kingdom, it says, of darkness into the kingdom. That particular verse doesn't say it that way, but that's exactly what it's talking about, and we see it throughout the rest of Scripture. So we're translated from one kingdom to another kingdom. The kingdom of His, the kingdom of light, translated into light, the kingdom of His dear Son, this new kingdom in which we are alive. How many are glad to be alive today? Not just breathing, but alive. That's good news. His great love, our trust, faith, our trust in His great love caused the greatest miracle that could ever happen to you. Everything else is just a fringe benefit of the main plate. And that is, I become. I love that song this morning. That was so awesome. I am a child of God. What a miracle. Not by anything I've done, not of works, lest any should boast. Yeah, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But works never got me there, never will, won't keep me there. Aren't you glad for that? So my love, in response to His love, caused me to believe something that was supernatural, that was mountain moving. It caused the kingdom of God to come on the inside of me. Isn't that something? His love for me caused me to believe the impossible, and because of that, we're free. And now it opens up the door to the supernatural. How many know what the door of the supernatural is? It has two hinges, heart belief and the spoken word. swings the door open. How were you saved? I believed in my heart and I confessed with my mouth. Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak. We got all that, right? Okay. So this is how this works. Now, this whole concept of the love of God and what it is makes all the difference. For faith works by love. If you ever take faith and turn it into a formula or a message or a concept, or we'll pull the lever, it doesn't work like that real well. Because faith was actually, it should stay, where it works best is within the confines of relationship. Our relationship with God, and John goes on to say, and our relationship with God is defined by our relationship with one another. The church world in America is in trouble in that regard. If I can just keep a distance, give an offering, you know, throw some stuff, I don't want to touch you, but here, I want to help you there. And I can come listen to what's going on, but not get dirty. This is a lot of what Christendom is about. How many know that we can get dirty like Jesus did? Love the unlovable. Okay, that's not preaching good. We'll go back to the other. So here we'll get to that eventually. Okay, here's the deal though. So what is the difference? You know, you got, I pointed to young couples. So many young couples, man, they get 6-8 months into a marriage, a year, some make 2 years, but eventually they got married a lot of times because they fell in love. I mean, who can define that? And it can be very, very blind. And at some point, the blinders fall off and we begin to see things that we didn't see, and now there's a challenge. We can stick it out because we're embarrassed when we've already got kids involved. I mean, what would people think? And somehow we'll go get marriage counseling. We'll do whatever we got to do. We can't fall because it's going to look bad. Depending on your background, or somebody else might say, you know what, I don't love you anymore and I'm sorry. And there's just, you know, in certain states, irreconcilable differences. So I'm going to bail. Now listen, I'm not talking to people. Listen, this marriage thing has nothing to do. I want to make something really clear right now. Nothing to do with anything current that I'm dealing with in this congregation. There are situations where there is real abuse. Maybe we got into the relationship for the wrong reasons. Maybe, you know what, doesn't matter. Right now, today is a new day in Jesus. We're learning, we're growing, there's fresh starts, there's new beginnings. Aren't you glad for the grace of God today? Are you with me? Are you hearing me today? So don't you dare take any of this as I'm coming back and reacting and pounding a situation. We got some ladies in here that have been through, that are going through some things where there is real physical abuse. I got news for you. You're in that kind of abuse, or you're being browbeat to your nobody, get out. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking within the confines of normal human relationships and marriage and the way it thinks and the understanding, this pop culture and the way it perceives love, what it says about love, how it defines love in sitcoms and in pop songs and in country songs and in rap songs and in this song and in that song, and what's coming off the air and what we laugh at, all these things formulating. How many know that we're not to be shaped by the spirit of this age, but rather we are transformed by the renewing of our mind to the Word of God? We better go back and find out what the Word of God says about that. So listen, we have young people that believe that love is a feeling, that love is an emotion. You fall in and you fall out. Listen, there's nothing wrong with the emotional response to love. We're not unemotional. He created us with emotion. But if you let emotion dictate your life, you're going to be just up and down and all over the place. The whole concept of marriage, God creating man and then creating woman for man and putting them together, the highest form of creation, this which the two of them together is a beautiful expression on earth of who He is. Subsequent children and a home and a place of protection and provision, a father and a mother, all of these expression, even the Spirit of God chose the home and marriage to describe to us who on earth, who can't quite get our brains around who He is, says, Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives like He loved the church. established. This is why I love the name Family Church. I mean, you can't get any simpler than that. But I see we're to be a family. Sometimes it seems like an impossible task because everybody's been hurt and everybody has their reasons and everybody has their, I'll get involved this far, but I'm not going to go any further. I've been hurt before. I've been abused before and everything. Somewhere along the line, we need to embrace the truth of the love of God. There is in the message of grace a message that speaks of not do to get, because he's already given fully, but self-denial in the name of love that others would be blessed. We are blessed to be, you ever heard that before? A blessing. Aren't you glad for the prosperity of God? Proverbs 10:21 that says the blessing of the Lord makes us rich and he adds no. There is no sorrow added to it. Say, I'm blessed. Come on, are you here today? I'm blessed. Even if you're not, confess it. Because you are, really. If you'll just keep believing. Now, here's the thing. Now, if you'll learn where all of this came from, and why God set it up, you'll begin to find out that there is the source of all of this other stuff that's called love. There wouldn't even be this theme or this argument or this topic or anything if it wasn't for the real thing somewhere down the middle. Now, there are people who don't know the Lord. And I'm sorry to linger on marriage, but it's a perfect example. That's why it's used in Scripture. There are people who are not even born again, but they got a hold of certain biblical truths. They may not have got saved or they were in their 70s or 80s, but without realizing it because of their culture, maybe the way they were raised, certain things got through, they saw it happening, and they lived by biblical truths. How many of you ever heard of Gary Smalley? Of course, most of you have. I remember the first infomercial I saw back in the 90s. He was a man who was speaking things that I knew that were in the Word of God, yet he never mentioned the Word of God one time. Troubled me. He's got these great infomercial. People are calling in. Time went by. I kind of wondered who he was. Is this a counterfeit? And then Entertainment Tonight. Help me. John Tesh and his wife, an actress. Their marriage is going to crash. They called in. They got the information from Gary Smalley. Their marriage began to put back together. They began to have a new understanding of love. And in that process, they were restored. I don't know where they're at today. They're good. Okay. From the last I heard, they're doing tremendous. He was at Womack Healing. Healed of cancer at Brother Womack's meeting. There you go. That's John Tesh. Last month. Okay, so they're active, moving forward. Isn't that's powerful, buddy. That's fruit. I didn't know that. That's so awesome. Healed of cancer last month. John Tesh. Okay, now, John Tesh and his wife, I can't remember her name. Connie, there you go. So what happened was, and I got to see the actual interview, they finally met. They said, we want to meet you. Your teaching has changed, has transformed our lives. Where are you getting this stuff? And Gary Smalley said, I had the wonderful opportunity. See, this is when I found out this wasn't just a guy who got a hold of some truths and was using it for the wrong reasons. I began to find that the opposite was true because he said, if you really want to know, I'm going to invite you over. I want you to come over. We're going to sit down. I'm going to show you. He pulled out his Bible and he said, let me show you where real love comes from and why these principles work. He said, they come from the Word of God. They come from God Himself. They come as there's an example of how this works in Jesus and His expression to the church. In that conversation, in that meeting, they were born again. Healed last month. You watched it and heard it. That's powerful stuff. Isn't that something? So they were working principles that were eternal without even being born again, and it was healing their marriage. There are people, some of us, some of our grandparents, that stuck it out, truly loved each other, but didn't know the Lord till later on in years because our culture was different. Right now, our culture is being majorly challenged. Okay, but our culture was different. Things were different. The thinking was different. The seeds of the 60s have gone to seed. And we're reaping now the fruit big time for all of that compromise. But you know what? How many know we can still learn? Okay. So many young couples today, now they're confused about what love is. If I feel passionate and warm and longing for you, then I'm in love. Well, that's wonderful. That should be in a relationship, but you better not base the relationship on that. For feelings come and feelings go. But there is a word. See, you thought I was going to go to the old poem for children. But the word of God stands forever. I can remember the first time I was challenged. And I'm so glad that in Bible school, they had a special class for second year students. Because they knew that many of us would go out with a call to ministry and a call to do something for God. And sooner or later, the challenge would be there. They would find a mate. They would get married. And the pressures of ministry on a marriage are unique. And they wanted to insulate us. And they gave us a couple of books. Is how can I be sure? Is this the right person? How do I know this? They spoke of compatibility and the importance of it and what it was on a spiritual level. Not compatibility of today. Okay. I won't say that. That's too crude. We'll keep moving. Okay. So the thing is I remember, and then they had another book. And in that book, they spoke truths, not just to my head, but they fell on my heart. Jackie and I met each other. We dated through our first year. We were married between first and second year. Spent the second year of Bible school together. Ended up going shortly thereafter to the mission field for a couple of years. And in time, as much as we had both come from homes, not so much my wife, but in more recent years, there had been a real healing in her home. She'd come from a home that was, you've heard the testimony. My home, very, very solid, very secure. I'd seen great examples in the home, everything, confidence in God. But there were still, how many know you can't practice life? You're going to still face some challenges. And in about 2.5 years of marriage on the mission field, some of the things that I'd been so blind to and vice versa, it's just the way it is. Irritation began to rise and different things begin to happen. And then somebody would say something and the other one would be hurt. And one thing led to another. And all of a sudden, all communication had been walled off. We'd smile when we'd see each other. We were holding little Rebecca. We looked like the perfect little missionary couple. But there was trouble on the home front. I'm hurt. It's all about me. It's all about I. There's another country song for you. I was hurt. Okay, and I didn't understand why, you know, and she was hurt and she didn't understand why. And we're going right on down this line and all this stuff. We're on the mission field. And another argument happened and I'm heading out to minister. I mean, I'm in a chicken bus on dirt roads about this wide, banging my head off a glass window, heading back in 3 hours to the middle of nowhere to tell Jesus about how much God loves him and how the love of God can transform them so they can experience the love of God. And I got trouble on the home front and I'm going to preach Jesus. And on the way there, I said, Lord, this isn't right. What's going on? Because my heart, because I had been taught some things, I knew that where I was at was wrong. I knew that my mentality was wrong. See, if you don't even know that, if people around you are saying, man, go with your heart, man. Go with your feelings. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. You ever heard that? It wasn't meant to be. You know, well, I never really did. I love this one in marriage counseling. I never really did love him. I've heard that a gazillion times in marriage counseling. And I'm like, excuse me, we did the marriage counseling 10 years ago. You were stepping on your tongue, sweetheart. Your eyes were bigger. I mean, you were so in love. Don't tell me that. But see, the devil will come in and he'll weave his little deal. Well, here's the thing. On a bus, all of a sudden, I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, help me. And you know what? He'll help you. Except what he did to me was he brought down a big old Holy Ghost mirror and showed me myself. In an instant, I realized what I was acting like. I was the head of my home. I was supposed to be the covering and the protector. I was supposed to be the one who was to lead the way. And here I am being a wimp. Then within that second, I'll never forget it as long as I live, a flood of conversations, excuse me. I'm sorry. Amen. A flood of conversations when we were dating, knowing where she'd come from, what she'd been through, what she'd experienced as her rises and the things of faith. All of a sudden, a flood of memories began to come back as I remembered our conversations, and compassion and love began to well in my heart for my little Jackie. By the time I got to where I was going, boy, I could preach. I couldn't wait to get home and get a card and a letter of apology and love and affirmation, and I'd never done it. My big old cowboy boots and a hat this big walked right up into a market and bought flowers. I didn't care who was looking. Went home, met my wife on the doorstep of our little adobe house in the middle of the mountains of Honduras, handed her those flowers and a letter, and watched her bawl. No words were said. Two plus years into our marriage. What a beautiful spiritual picture, right? Well, Amber came out of that as well. She's back there. Okay, now here's the thing. Oh, settle down. Don't pretend. Come back home. We fell in love more than we ever had been, but we thought we knew what it was. That was a whole nother level. Do you know that as a commitment to God, a response to His great love for me, undeserved love has grown in my life? We met new levels in where we were challenged again. See, the challenges are different at 22 than they are at 32. And 42. And hopefully we're both growing. Individually. Just because you got married, my dear sweet sister, doesn't mean you lost your identity. You're special. You're an individual. Yes, you're one with your spouse, but that doesn't mean you lost who you are. He needs you to be who you are. He may not know that, but He needs you to be who you are in Jesus and be strong in who you are in Jesus. And vice versa. But see, a greater understanding of love helped re-center. Oh, what a message this is. Helped re-center and saved a potential wreck. I know, because I've got cousins all over. And family members and friends who have had complete wrecks because they lived by their emotion. Here's the thing. When it comes to faith, Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk according to our feelings, our emotions, what we see. We walk by faith. We'll see. Faith works by love. Love is the same way. The love of God. Aren't you glad? Listen, unconditional love has now become a buzz term in the secular world. And all they just love to parade their knowledge of unconditional. You don't know diddly squat. You're using godly principles that you have no idea what they are. You don't know how to connect them. You're selling books and videos, and people are still in just as big of a wreck because you can't take concepts without a relationship with the source of that love and get anywhere. There was a time when the principles worked because our culture generally was molded and we knew some things. But right now, it's a shame that over 60%, last I heard, divorce rate in the world transcends right into the church. These things should not be. No condemnation. That's not where I'm going. I'm saying a revelation of His love will cause us to cease to be victims and begin to be victors, for we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Say with me today, faith. Mountain-moving faith works by love. Say it with me. Not just any love, but the God kind of love. My dear sister, if you can get a hold of the love of God, He may be a jerk. But there's miracle working love on the inside of you that 1 Peter 3 says, even if he doesn't believe the word of God, will win him to Jesus. You say, that's not fair. Most things in life aren't fair. But it's true and it's powerful. And what comes out on the other side is equally unfair because it's too wonderful and we don't deserve it. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? The love of God. Faith works by love. So, back to the Velcro. Why do some stick and others don't? How could Jesus stand stoic? Oh, he was the Son of God. Listen, if that's why, I don't have the time right now, but John makes it clear that he stood as the Son of Man. He was, yes, absolutely, spiritually before the foundation of the world, he was the Son of God. But Philippians 2 said, although he thought it not robbery, this is how the King James describes it, he didn't consider it to be a strange thing to be equal with God. What he's saying is he and God were one equal. They were there by him and for him. Colossians 1, where all things created. Hebrews, they're one in the, God the Father, God the Son. Jesus in John 17 praying, I and my Father. He speaks about them being one. I want them to be one as we are one. Okay, so we get that. But for him to be a true priest for us, for him to be a true Lamb of God, at the same time, for us, his temptation could not be token. It had to be real. And for it to be real, in the wisdom of God, in the supernatural work of God, God allowed him to stand as a Son of Man and be tempted. This is why the devil had the audacity to do the things that he did. He knew that because of the fall and because of sin, he had jurisdiction on planet Earth. Now, what he didn't know, it was getting ready to end through the death, burial, and resurrection of the same. But at that time, Jesus being tempted, you'll find this in Luke 4, Jesus being tempted, he was being tempted with real temptations on a level that fit who he was. You hungry? Command these stones to be turned into bread. You think you know who you are? You think you know where you came from? You think you know where you're going? You'll just submit to me? I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Because at that time, Satan was running the show. Read your Bible. Paul calls him the God of this world. Isn't that powerful? What a tease. Cast yourself from up here. Doesn't the Bible say? And he quotes scripture, people. He quotes scripture with a hiss. He quotes Psalms 91. The arrogance, the audacity. These were real temptations. And you know what Jesus did? He stood and he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And finally, he pulled out the big bomb. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What was it that caused him to be able to do that? Look at Philippians 2. I'm going to give you another example, and then we're going to look at what is behind this kind of strength. Why wasn't he dollar Velcro? And as our example, how can we not be dollar Velcro, but stick to it and talk to our mountains and expect God to do something? Say with me, shout it out today, faith works by love. I'm praying and I'm believing God that over the next few weeks, you're going to get a revelation of the love of God. And I've got to hurry here because there's something I want to say before we go. And I have, I'm not going to even say that. Okay, so let's go to Philippians real quick. Philippians. I love all these books. Anyway, Philippians 2 is just amazing. Philippians 2, he starts out, he says, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies. This is King James, I understand, a little, okay. He says, fulfill you my joy. Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. That's heavy. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. I got a picture of me that day on the bus, and I got a Holy Ghost compassion for my wife, and suddenly I knew she stood high, high on my list. Overwhelmed with what a jerk I'd been, my self-righteous attitude. Overwhelmed with how she had somehow stuck it out. Some of the things I had said in my self-righteous. The time I got back off that bus, I'd esteem somebody. You know, that's not just for husbands and wives. That is intended for the body. That's for you and me. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. You can't hardly keep the same people in the same church in our area. There is a spirit and a climate. Listen to what I'm telling you. This is not Pastor Lee whining and wimping out. But there's an attitude in our area, in the Quad City area. You say something I don't like, I'll be all right the first time. But you say it twice, and I'm leaving. I'm going to go find me another wife. Now, I'm not saying if they're teaching outright, straight-up doctrinal error, get out. But just because you got your feelings hurt, or somebody hurt your feelings, or they didn't greet you just right, or they put a little pressure on you to serve because they're under pressure, there are certain people in this church you never see. You know why? They got a heart, servant's heart. The love of God compels them. Out of sight, out of mind. I'm not trying to load up anybody, but listen, just hear what I'm saying. We all have our excuses. Come on, stay with me. The love of God. We have a problem, a sickness. Listen, would you join me right now? Let's stop right now. If we can make a declaration, we can also call healing. Would you join me right now? Father, in Jesus' name, come on, are you here today? All over, we pray for pastors. We pray for congregations. We pray for the men and women of God. Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bind the power of division. We bind in Jesus' name this attitude. Father, in Jesus' name, we break it in our area. We call what your heart's desire is, and that people would join themselves to and become and flow as the body of Christ and find their homes and stick it out. How I love my brother Wayne up here at the Baptist Church, Grace Baptist. He may not talk in tongues, and he may think I'm crazy because I do, and that's okay. But I see a man who walks in integrity. I see a man whose family is intact. I see a man who preaches Jesus and is reaching our community and been doing it a long time, head down and doing something for God. He doesn't deserve one word of criticism. You bless and you honor and you speak and you believe. There are people can't handle this. I'm okay with that. That's where they're at right now. They need Pastor Wayne. If we don't change our mentality, don't you dare ever be caught comparing with your mouth, especially our church to another church. Or if somebody's going to another church, say, well, you should come try our church. Shame on you. Yes, a grace preacher just said that in a grace church. Shame on you if you're doing that. You should not be doing that. Amen. Now, if they're over there preaching anyway, I'm not going to get into that. If it's direct, open, and we're not talking about cults who deny the deity of Jesus. We're talking about churches, the body of Christ, who proclaim Jesus himself, right? The Son of God. Okay, so anyway, let me back up. I got off. Verse 4. Look not every man unto his own things. You know, we can, us grace people, we can get so entrenched in our little world and all that God's blessed us with that after a while, we just don't want to get dirty. Our stuff is more important than people. And we forgot that our stuff was blessed. We were blessed with it in part. Not totally. He blesses us because he loves us. But our stuff, in one way or another, is still his. And in some point or another, we ought at least be willing to let our stuff be a blessing to somebody else. And know that he is the one who provides. Read between the lines. Look not every man unto his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then he says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The King James there is a little shrouded, but he's simply saying he was with God. He's saying what John says in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is what he's saying, okay? He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made into the likeness of men. How many are glad for that? Three of you. How many are glad for that? Hallelujah. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly, I want you to notice the next verse, great victory on our behalf is getting ready to explode. Are you here this morning? Ephesians 1 says that the exceeding great power of God resurrected him from the dead and made him conquer over every principality and power, every devil, every name that was named. He did that for us because Ephesians 1 finishes up saying, and all of that he put under our feet, the body of Christ. Say, I'm a victor. Come on, make a confession with me. I'm a victor, not a victim. Love. Come on, are you here today? Say it with me. Love causes me to operate in mountain-moving faith. Where is this message in the church? This is what Jesus taught. You know why people don't want to hear it? Because it puts a little responsibility on you. You can no longer say, well, everything happens for a reason. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. I agree. Okay, so. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Conquest through servanthood. How could he do this for us? How could he stand resolute? Jesus knew where he come from. He knew where he was going. He knew who he was and what his purpose was in planet Earth. What caused him to be able to stand as the Son of Man in our place, as our example? What can cause you to not be cheap Velcro? Me, not be cheap Velcro, and stick it out and believe the word of God. Plunder hell through the name of Jesus. We got hell all around. Everybody wants to talk about the afterlife of hell. Listen, hell, and according to even the word of God, is all around us. Listen, man, we can plunder hell in the name of Jesus. But listen, we got to somewhere connect it to the relationship. How could he do these things? Why was there such a resolute? Now, here's the thing. I don't have time to do this, but I've got to. I told you I'd go to 1 Corinthians 13 last week, and I'm not doing this to you again. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, we'll get into this more next week. I just want to read it to you, and I want you to know something very quick. I want you to know this is not a definition of love. Rather, it is a description of God's love. Let me back up and say that one more time. 1 Corinthians 13 is not a definition of love. It is a description of how God's love behaves. Now, it's a template for us to follow. Shout it out with me one more time. Faith works by love. People, I'm believing God that this is going to explode on the inside of you. Take a whole new turn in this deal of faith. Because the enemy always wants to take us back to our effort, back to our performance, back to formula, point us back to failures. Why isn't it working? You know, so often you see people that get started talking to their mountains, and isn't long before they're mad at God first. They won't admit it, but they're mad at God. And if that's not dealt with, after a while, they're mad at some brother or sister. They're mad at a church. They're mad at a pastor. They've got all their reasons, and they bounce again. And they never grow. It's just bouncing. It's just marriage and divorce, marriage and divorce, marriage and divorce, marriage and divorce, marriage and divorce. Bounce again, bounce again. Somewhere you got to get plugged in. Somewhere you got to realize that no matter where you go, even if that church was perfect when you got there, it isn't any longer. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect man. How many are glad for the love of God today? Somewhere along the line, how our area needs healing. Would you cry out with me in intercession that healing would come here in our area? That this cycle of defeat would cease. I'm not saying that everybody has to all camp under one roof. Absolutely. I just got through telling you how I feel about Wayne. That's not us all getting together under one roof. That's not unity. That's man trying to make something happen. The spirit of unity is not so much what happens out here. The spirit of unity is your attitude heart-wise going out. And that causes connections and things to happen even with people you can't worship with every day under the same roof, because they're just not going to accept your tongues or your noise or vice versa. But they believe in the same Jesus and the effort. But somewhere we got to find... Okay, I got to continue. 1 Corinthians 13... And I gotta do this quick. You getting anything out of this? Isn't this fun? Powerful. Powerful. 1 Corinthians 13. Starting right out of the chute. Now I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. Here it goes. Ready? I'm going to read out of the Amplified. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels. Whoop, there we go. Shot us Pentecostals in the right off the bat. Say, look, you think you're something because you're talking tongues? Boom! If I can speak with the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love. I don't know who, I mean, that's incredible, because that's exactly where I'm going. Inspired by God's love. This isn't just man's love. You love me, so therefore I love you. Or I love you with the hope that you'll love me back. Or I love you because I feel good about you and I like you and I think you're pretty, or I think you're handsome and you make me feel complete. How many know we ought to be complete in Jesus? Yes. Boy, I'm saying so much right now that needs qualified. Lord God, help me. Let the people hear with ears of the Spirit as well. Okay? He says, if that's the way it is, I'm only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and the gift of interpreting and divine will and purpose, prophecy, it says in the King James, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith, so, here it goes. He's getting ready to touch our topic. How dare he have faith to move mountains? Interesting, huh? Everybody say, Faith to move mountains. But have not God's love in me, I'm nothing. He's not telling believers you're nothing. This guy preaches who we are in Christ. But he's saying our ability to walk and flow and experience and be a blessing is gone. Nothing. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor. I know people that their whole life is about giving to the poor because they themselves feel incomplete. They feel guilty. They struggle with inadequacy. They don't feel like they're full. And so their whole life is poured out for others, which is beautiful. But the motive is wrong and they're not benefiting from it. There's a wreck in their own life as they're pouring out for the needs of others. But they haven't. And listen, so a lot of you already, gotcha. You think I'm getting ready to unload on you. The problem with you is you don't love God enough. You're already there. 90% of you are already there. If you would love God more and you would love your brother more, then your mountain would move. You sorry sucker. It's because you're a sinful. You don't love. The key is you better love God more. And they always want to quote the law. Well, didn't Jesus say when he was questioned by the lawyers of his time? Listen, and the greatest of these is. And he quotes the law. He was answering their question. But in John 13, he says, anew. How many know what new means? New means new, never used. Ugh, that was wonderful. New means new, never used. A new commandment give I you. That you love one another the best you can. Grit your teeth, get through. Some people aren't worth it, but try to be like God. No. That you love one another as I have loved you. Have you ever thought about how he loved us? Ephesians 2 says, when we were yet dead. Can everybody in here say dead?
Dead.
Dead. In trespasses. Sin. One passage says he died for us. Another one says he made us alive together. You didn't have diddly to do with that. People that trying to fill. Listen, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's an outflow of I am complete. I am loved. I openly see there's no way I could ever deserve this, but nevertheless, it's true to the nth degree beyond my comprehension, maybe ever. For it is his glory to continue to show the riches of his grace for the ages to come, Ephesians 2 tells us. People, that's powerful stuff. I got to quit. I'm overloading you. I understand. You like our topic?
Yes.
It's going somewhere good. You hold in there. Because love is what causes faith. It can get into a whole new gear. Now, I'm not going to read it now because of time's sake. And I can tell what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it again if I don't quit. He goes in here. I hope that you read this. This is your assignment for last week. Get you the Amplified Bible. Read. You'll see what love acts like, the God kind of love. Now, before we go any further to end today, I want you to understand a couple of things. I'm going to jump to the end of where I wanted to be and read one statement to you. I didn't get to 1 John 4 today, but in 1 John 4 we find out that we love him because he first loved us. And his perfect love for us has the power to cast out all fear. What do you think that does to your faith? It's not your love for him. It is now under the new covenant, a revelation of his love for you. Jesus says a new, never been used. I love it. A new commandment give I you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Say with me, I can't give what I don't already have. A good receiver is the best kind of giver. Somebody who can openly receive. That's the highest example of humility. I know there's a lot of qualifying there, but we'll get there. The foundation. You might want to write this down. This is a direct quote from Brother Andrew Womack. When I heard it, it was running in the background and I'm doing something else and I went, whoa! Now this may sound simple. You may have heard me say it a million times, but it hit me all over again in the light of our subject. Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. The foundation of believing God. How many in here are believing God? Talking to mountains. The foundation of believing God is finding out. You ready for something really deep? How much God loves you. I'm going to show it to you in the book of John. Now, we're not going to quit there. Otherwise, we're back to where we were at just a couple of years ago. Because there is a place for us walking in this love towards others. And John explains that. But he said, it's not possible until you receive love first. Then there is a loving others. Are you with me? You may be a spiteful, sarcastic stinkpot who needs to walk. I don't know. I'm not accusing anybody. Who needs this love. And we're going to get there. But you're not going to get there through your wife or your husband nagging you and beating you over the head and you taking everything I say coming at you or whatever. You're only going to get there as you begin to get a revelation. That day on the bus for me, the Holy Spirit sweetly and beautifully showed me myself, but He poured in His love and His forgiveness, and it transformed into a whole new compassion and love for the one I thought was my problem. I saw where the problem was at in a hurry, and I saw the answer. Are you with me? Oh, the love of God. I'm very glad for the love of God today. Hallelujah, Lord. Boy, I wished I had me another hour, but I don't. Before we get into, now that I understand this love, what it should, because if the epistles are full of it. We just read it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Mind, the original attitude. Let this attitude be in you. And the attitude looks like this. Esteeming others higher than yourself. Being kind, gracious, believing the best, speaking the best, giving what is undeserved. The power of believing comes from understanding how much God loves us. And when that begins to become a revelation in me, do you know that we are most God-like when we love? And the Bible says that mountain-moving faith works by love. I got to quit. Time to. Do you enjoy that? Me too. I believe God's going to do some great things in our lives. I didn't get there. You'll have to look at it yourself. Would everybody please write down John 17? Because I got to quit. John 17. Go to the last verse and you'll find out why. This is where we'll start next week. Last verse of John 17, you'll find out why Jesus was so, as the Son of Man, stalwart, like He calls us to be in mountain-moving faith, standing in the face of disaster and opposition, saying it is written. Here's what He says. Oh, they put it up there. That the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? He knew the love of His Father. It caused His faith. Aren't you glad for the faith of Jesus? Let's lift our hands all over the room, shall we? Hallelujah, Lord. Father, how we love you today. Come on, would you pray with me? How we love you today. How we thank you for your great love for us. How we've learned over the last several years about how incredible this is. And every time we open up the Word, we see it more and more. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being willing to come. Big brother, my victor and king, thank you for loving me when I was unlovable. Thank you for loving me when my heart and my mind were filled with cursings. In opposition, an enemy of the cross, you loved me and gave your life for me. How we love you today. How we honor you and recognize your great love for us. Oh, you've given us great promises. You said that us little human beings down here on this big blue ball can talk to impossible situations and expect them to move. What a powerful promise. But you kept relationship in it. Faith that moves mountains works by love. Father, I thank you. Come on all over this room. Would you just receive today? We today receive Romans 5:5. Say it with me. Let's make a confession together, shall we? Say, thank you, Father, that your love is shed abroad all over, shed abroad throughout the corridors of my heart. Today I receive your love and I begin the journey of being a vessel of love. For you've not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Come on, somebody rejoice. Somebody rejoice. Come on, somebody rejoice. Hallelujah. Never the same. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whoo, I can't wait to get till next week. Bring somebody with you. Let's fill this place up. Let's let the love of God do its thing. How many are already seeing your mountain going? You already see a bumper crop harvest. Come on, are you here today? As we get complete in Him and in His love. Father, bless your people in a special, sweet way this weekend. Thank you for your protection, your favor on their lives, for a beautiful day tomorrow of rest for many, and for your grace and your peace upon them. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen and amen. Before you go,